Manuscript Releases, Volume 3, Numbers 162 to 209. MR Number 188, Miscellaneous Items Requested for General Use. Here we are at Brother E.P. Butler's. Oh, how changed everything is here! God had wrought for us mightily, praise His holy name. At Washington, the Lord took the rule of the meeting Himself. Stephen Smith and Brother Butler were present. There were about 75 present, all in the faith. Brother Stephen Smith was filled with a wrong spirit. J. Hart and he had filled the minds of many with prejudice against us. False reports had been circulated, and the band had been sinking and had lost the power of the third angel's message. They were sickly, but knew not the cause. The reason was that there was an accursed thing in the camp, and by the assistance of God, we were trying to get it out of the camp. Brother Butler was dark. The time, 1851, had passed and left those who believed in it very low and dark, and the influence of those who believed the time has been very distracting. Brother Holt talked on the gifts of the Spirit. S. Smith did not confess his wrongs at all. Such a self-confident person, who felt so perfectly whole, we have seldom seen. God wrought for us. There was a mighty breaking down before God. You remember, I was not very well when we parted. I continued to grow feeble, and all day Sabbath was very weak, not able to sit up. In the eve, I fainted quite away. The brethren prayed over me, and I was healed and taken off in vision. I had a deep plunge in the glory, and the state of things in Washington was revealed to me, which I declared plainly to them. The vision had a powerful effect. All acknowledged their faith in the visions except Brother Butler and S. Smith. We all felt it duty to act, and by a unanimous vote of the brethren, S. Smith was disfellowshipped by the church until he should forever lay down his erroneous views. His wife then broke down and said she knew that her husband was not right. The work of God went right on in the meeting. Sunday Eve, after we had disfellowshipped Brother Smith, in the afternoon, we had a glorious season. Many confessed that they had been prejudiced against us by different individuals, such as S. Smith and J. Hart, but they praised God that they had seen us and were convinced that the visions were of God. The brethren and sisters generally arose and expressed their opinions and feelings. It was a good time. Monday forenoon we held another meeting, and it was the best meeting of the whole. Sweet union and love prevailed in the meeting. We then sang the farewell hymn, and with sad yet joyful hearts parted. Sad that we must part with those we love so well, and had taken such sweet counsel with. But joyful that our hearts had been strengthened and comforted together, that the clear light of truth had shone upon us, and that we were soon to meet to part no more, where no discord or disunion reigns. The next day we went to Claremont and took the car for Royalton. Tuesday, the same eve, the conference commenced. Brother Butler was at that meeting, also Brother Josiah Hart, who was so strong on the time, and after it passed by, got a substitute, the age to come, and was carrying that about. Such confusion and distraction has followed the time, and fighting against the visions. They had also lost the power of the third angel's message, and some of them were in complete darkness. Brother Hart was stiff and unyielding enough. I got up and told him what God had shown me concerning him. Brother Butler began to break away and come into the clear light. Thursday we seemed to have gone about as far as we could, and to have done all we could, yet there was much more to be done in order for things to be set just right. In the morn, we all seemed to have an agonizing cry for God to work like Himself, a wonder-working God. Our prayers were answered. The power of God came down. It was a good season. Angels were hovering over us. I was taken off in vision and saw just the state of things there, and just the state that Brother Baker was in, and Brethren Hart and Butler. I got up and told the vision. It had quite a powerful effect. The meeting that eve, Friday at Johnson, was deeply interesting. There were about 73 present. Brother Baker spoke, and spoke quite well, about the time and his disappointment. Yet he did not view things in their true light. He was much discouraged and sunken. After he sat down, a man by the name of Walker arose, who had very lately embraced the truth, and thought and acted as though he knew it all. He said he expected the brethren were expecting a confession from him, because he was so strenuous upon the time, but said he had nothing to confess, and he did not think Brother Baker had. He was not sure, but something did take place, that Jesus did leave the Most Holy the time they said he would. He was happy. These were the happiest days of his life. He went on in this strain with such a wild spirit that all were disgusted with him. The Spirit of God came upon James White, and he arose and rebuked him in the name of the Lord. His mouth was closed in a moment. He could not say anything more, but sat down and did not say anything through the meeting. He was rebuked by God. This was a great help to the meeting, and a great help to Brother Baker. Sabbath and Pleasure Seeking. God would have all his gifts appreciated. All fragments, jots, and tittles are to be treasured carefully, and we are carefully to become acquainted with the necessities of others. All that we have of Bible truth is not merely for our benefit, but to impart to other souls, and this is to be impressed upon human minds, and every kindly word spoken to prepare the way to make a channel through which the truth will flow forth in rich currents to other souls. Every working of Christ in miracles was essential, and was to reveal to the world that there was a great work to be done on the Sabbath day for the relief of suffering humanity, but the common work was not to be done. Pleasure-seeking, ball-playing, swimming was not a necessity, but a sinful neglect of the sacred day sanctified by Jehovah. Christ did not perform miracles merely to display his power, but always to meet Satan in his afflicting, suffering humanity. Christ came to our world to meet the needs of the suffering, whom Satan was torturing. Not one heretical sentence for use in teaching, correspondence, etc. I am now looking over my diaries and copies of letters written for several years back, commencing before I went to Europe. I have the most precious matter to reproduce and place before the people in testimony form. While I am able to do this work, the people must have these things, to revive past history, that they may see that there is one straight chain of truth without one heretical sentence in that which I have written. This, I am instructed, is to be a living letter to all in regard to my faith. 329a, 1905, pages 1, 2. To granddaughter Mabel White, November 16, 1905. Released April 19, 66.